mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Sebastian Thrun, the man behind perhaps the most disruptive idea to hit higher education, massive open online courses, or more commonly, MOOCs, has decided to jack it in. While some traditional educators may be saying, I told you so, proponents of online education are worried about what the shift means for its future. Rebecca Schumann is education columnist for Slate and adjunct professor at the University of Missouri. She wrote about the acknowledged godfather of MOOCs moving away from his product. Rebecca, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Pretty big gear change for Thrun. I guess you pronounce his name differently. But he went from online education evangelist to moving his company, Udacity, to the corporate training world because of what he called a lousy product. Bring us up to speed, would you?
Well, according to this very sort of lengthy profile of him in Fast Company magazine, which is basically the Pravda of the Silicon Valley set, as blogger Mike Caulfield puts it. With apologies to Pravda. A few years ago, he was giving TED Talks and going on TV very confidently saying that soon there would only be 10 content providers of higher education left in the world, and one of them would be Udacity. But when it was time to use the Udacity courses in an actual college environment with actual college students, it failed disastrously. The San Jose State University math program did a pilot program where one class of students took an in-person math course and another class of students took a MOOC for very, very low cost, but they did pay for it. And 74% of the in-person students passed and 51% of the MOOC students passed. And that was simply just not good enough for San Jose State. So the official language is that they're putting their project with Udacity on hold, but we don't. It may be an indefinite hold. And so Thrun was not happy with these figures, but his reaction is what upset a lot of people in the higher education community, because what he said was, well, these students are not a good fit for this product.
So he's blaming the students.
I don't know whether he is completely blaming the students, but in this article, it seemed as if he were blaming the students. And he was blaming them specifically for being lower income and for coming from what he put as difficult neighborhoods with few, if any, access to computers and challenges in their lives.
Wasn't that supposed to be the target demographic for free online courses?
Absolutely. According especially to Tom Friedman, who has basically been this very loud mouthpiece for MOOCs. He has a MOOC column in the New York Times, what appears to be every few months.
What's really at issue here, the model or the leader of this model?
Oh, I don't really have anything against him at all. He seems like a very interesting person, and I think that he was trying to do something, you know, new for the world. I think it's the model, because all MOOCs are is a dressed-up version of the correspondence course, which has been, you know, attempting to take people's money and failing to educate them for hundreds of years. So the first reason that MOOCs are ineffective is that they replicate the most ineffective form of college teaching, which is the large lecture. I don't know if you have been to a college lately and been to a lecture hall. Well, it's a new world now with technology. What you will see when a professor is giving a lecture now is texting, Facebook, Snapchat, games. They are doing anything but paying attention to the lecture. This may not be the case at the most privileged institutions like Harvard, but at the institutions where the vast majority of Americans get their bachelor's degree, large lectures are basically something you go sit in and resent and not pay attention. The real learning, if there is any at all, in a large lecture class takes place during discussion section, which happens with qualified instructors and teaching assistants. And MOOCs do not have those. What MOOCs have instead are sort of discussion leaders that are other students, or They're never paid. They're volunteer. It's the inmates running the prison.
Harvard, MIT, Yale, they all have these online free course models. Is that happening with all of them, or was it just how this San Jose University / Udacity collaboration was managed, to your mind?
It's hard to tell because all of these elite institutions that have MOOCs do not offer credit for them at their own institution. If you take a Harvard MOOC as a Harvard student, you're doing it for fun.
So
they wouldn't dream of offering credit for their own MOOCs. And so the Udacity partnership was one of the first instances where credit was actually given for a MOOC, and it was a disaster.
Is your thought then that this model is bad for higher education, or does this current model maybe just need some adjusting?
It is unequivocally bad for higher education for several reasons. It furthers the sort of corporatization of the higher education model. It also is very bad for the exchange of ideas, because if Sebastian Thrun's dream had really come through and there were 10 providers of higher education in the world, that's basically like one super professor per subject. And is it really safe to have one person with that person's ideas be the only person disseminating knowledge mm-hmm. on a specific subject? I can think of a place where that happens, and that's North Korea. So pedagogically, it's irresponsible and dangerous, but mostly it just doesn't teach students because, you know, I'm a professor. I'm in there with students every day, and I know what it takes to teach them. It takes an interaction of a minimum of four moves where you say something to the students, they say something back to you in reaction to what you said, you say something in reaction to that, and then they react again.
Well, let's make a distinction here, however, between these MOOC courses, these massive, you know, sometimes tens of thousands students, free courses, and the growth of online education. Here in New Hampshire, we have a very quickly, in fact, one of the most fast-growing schools in the country, Southern New Hampshire University, or SNU, which also does online courses that are focused on being smaller. Is that the key, or what is the distinction there?
There is a very big distinction between MOOCs and online education.
Mm-hmm.
An online course that you matriculate for at a university such as the University of New Hampshire or here at University of Missouri-St. Louis, where many of our courses are also administered online, that is neither massive nor open. It is a closed course that requires registration and usually permission of the instructor. It usually has a maximum of 20 or 30 students in it, and there is a tremendous amount of interaction between the professor and the students, whether that be in online chats or even on the phone. And so I don't think online education is necessarily doomed. I think that it's a rising tide that we can't avoid. But there's a big, huge difference between online education and massive open online education. And the fact is that any education that is at all effective is not going to be free. Someone is going to have to pay for it because it requires an educator who is dedicated to those specific students.
Which makes it even more interesting that the new model for Udacity is going to be in corporate training. So obviously there's some money to be made there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's possible that that may work quite well for them. It will still probably have a large attrition rate. Most MOOCs have between a 90 and a 93% attrition rate. But in the corporate world, I don't know if that is even going to be an issue. The MOOCs primary demographic, over 80% of students enrolled in MOOCs are older adults who have a degree already. Many have advanced degrees already. And so the MOOC demographic is lifetime learners who are doing it as a hobby. And it may very well be that MOOCs will succeed for the rest of time as continuing education, but that does not make them the dramatically democratizing force of free knowledge that the Tom Friedmans of the world assumed that they would be.
You teach at a big university. You're aware of these huge lecture classes where students are absolutely not paying attention. But, you know, the cost of education is going up. The value of secondary school education is really being questioned mm-hmm. vis-a-vis the cost. What is the solution here? Is something like MOOCs going to work? What are you looking at for disrupting education the way that it's going, as a lot of people are calling for?
It's absolutely true. The current state of higher education in the United States is really troubling, and the main problem is corporatization. We have a growing administration in most universities and a shrinking faculty, and especially a shrinking full-time faculty. The vast majority of college faculty in the United States today is adjuncts like me, who are paid on semester-to-semester contracts and much, much less than you would ever imagine a college professor being paid. I'd like to think that I provide a quality product, quality education to my students, but if I were full-time, I would probably be better. And I think that hybrid online in-person models, they have a lot of potential. And even online models that are neither massive nor open have a lot of potential. There has been some research done in recent years that shows that the sticker price of college has been artificially inflated to make it look like more of a luxury prestige good. And so I think some regulation on that end would be important as well.
Now that's something to follow up on. And Rebecca, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Rebecca Schumann, education columnist for Slate, where she wrote about the king of MOOCs abdicating his throne. You'll find a link to read that article and more at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up after a break, why intelligence agents are playing World of Warcraft. It's work, really. That's when Word of Mouth continues.